You're listening to the Shut Up and Teach podcast. I'm your host, Elijah Carbajal. Let's get started. Hey everyone, it's Elijah here. Before we get to the episode, I just wanted to ask you a question. Have you heard? My book has been released. I would be so honored if you would read my book, A Place They Love. Here's how you can purchase the book to read it. It's available on the EduMatch website. It's available on Amazon in three formats, paperback, hardback, and Kindle, and available at Barnes & Noble in paperback and ebook. I hope that you'll check it out. I hope that you'll leave an awesome review. I hope that you'll share it with a friend. Now, let's get to the episode. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Shut Up and Teach podcast. It's Elijah Carbajal, a Title I reading interventionist from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I'm here today to have a conversation with another great educator. I've got Aaron Austin with me today. Aaron, how are you doing? And welcome to the show.
I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. You mentioned before we were recording that you've been listening to the podcast for a while now. So I want to thank you for being a supporter and listener of that. And so it's great to have you here. Could you share a little bit about who you are, maybe what your role in education is, and then anything else about yourself that you feel comfortable sharing?
Yeah, right on. So I am a national board certified high school French teacher, currently teaching in Colorado. And this year, I'm actually the Colorado Congress of Foreign Language Teachers Teacher of the Year, which is kind of exciting.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thanks. And this is my 21st year teaching, which is really weird. When I realized it, I was like, wow, my teaching career is old enough to drink. That's something. And wow. And I started, actually, I taught for 11 or 12 years in suburban Minneapolis. I was living in St. Paul, and I taught elementary through high school. I'm dual certified French and art. So I have always throughout the 21 years taught more French. I never wanted to teach studio art. Art history is my thing. And so actually currently right now in the high school I'm at, it's an IB school, which I love. I am teaching levels 1 through 5 of French and AP art history, which is like my dream teaching job. Being able to teach both of those content areas is really fun.
Awesome.
Oh, and I guess I'm also an author. I have one book published already with Routledge and working on a second one, but we can talk about those later too.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to talk about it. So this is awesome. I love what you do, you know, teaching a second language to students and then teaching art history. Some may say that some of those things may not have any relevance today. I mean, a second language, I would say, you know, probably more so than the art history, but I'm wondering if you could speak to like the relevance of those subjects, art history and teaching French and teaching a second language, and the impact that it can have on the individual.
Absolutely. So art history, it's such a great class. I love it so much. It basically is learning about the history of the world via the art of the world, and it's global art. So that right there is important, that we're mm-hmm. getting a global view in. And there are, I think, a lot of kids traditionally who in a history class are just like, oh, okay, wars and conflicts and white man after white man after white man that has to memorize. And in art history, we look at the history of the world via how art was shaped by history and how art in turn shaped history. So you're looking at art through the lens of the pyramids and through Michelangelo's David. And when you're looking at art, when you're looking at history through the lens of art, it's just something so different for kids, and it helps them to dig into history more. And as we all know, if we don't learn about history, we're doomed to repeat it, right?
Absolutely.
So I think it tends to be a history style class that just reaches kids in a different way. And like I always tell kids when I'm talking about registering for next year, I'm like, in what other class do you get to study naked people? Like, no other class. And like, there's that, there's blood and gore. Like, when we get to the Aztecs, man, good stuff going on there that I'm glad is not happening now. And then, like, when they learn about the history of the artists themselves and the funny things the artists put into their works to stick it to the man, really, like the patrons, they just get so into it. And it really, a lot of the things that artists have done throughout time are really like counterculture. And teenagers like that. And I do too. So that's with art history. And then with learning a world language, I think it's so vital. And I don't care what the language is. I think every single second, third, fourth language we can learn is valuable. It's valuable because of what it does for our brains. And it's valuable because it increases global competence. And I know you're into music, and me too. And Bono famously said, music can change the world because it can change people. And what is music if not a language? And I think the more languages we can speak, the more connections we can make with other people. And the more we connect, truly, I think the better off we are globally.
Wow, thank you for those answers, because I loved it. And I love what you had to say, especially about connecting with other individuals through things like language, and music being one of them. So learning music is it kind of like learning another language, because it is, it's a whole other language in and of itself. So I have a question. Like you said, we're both passionate about music. I've got the guitars hanging up in the background there.
Love it.
You're repping the Foo Fighters today on Dave Grohl's
Yes.
birthday. So we share that love of music. Has music played a role in your has music played a role for you as a teacher? Like, in any way, shape, or form, like, have you been able to incorporate music into what you teach and how you teach?
100%. Absolutely. Yeah. The way I teach my content is, as anybody who's been in teaching a long time knows, trends come and go all the time. And so I like to take, I really like learning about new trends and new research, and then taking what I think is best and what works for me and my kids, and running with it. So there are definitely people who are like, no, we don't teach grammar anymore and we can't do that. And I push back against that. And I'm like, well, why? Like, learning about the structure of language, I think, is fascinating, because when you can learn about the structure, it really opens up a lot. So I teach a lot of grammatical concepts through music and through song.
I
And
love that.
that's how it's not dry. And I love, I think probably my passion for music allows me to be a little bit performery as I teach. I teach really I mean, it's physical. Like when I'm done teaching, I'm exhausted. It's like I'm on stage. And there, when we're running through a song, I am not afraid to just let my freak flag fly a little bit and be like, okay, this time we're gonna do it opera style. And sometimes, like, freshmen will be like, wait, what are we doing? And then I will bust it out so loud and big, and they'll be like half laughing, half singing, but they're into it. And it just makes it, music makes everything come alive a little bit more. And like I said, I think my love for music just makes me not afraid to be, quote unquote, on a stage.
It
I get
connects
into
us
it.
too. And it connects us to one another too. So what I kind of, man, there's so much that I want to unpack there. So, I mean, going back to using music for things like for grammar, I've seen teachers, and I've done it too, use song and chants for things like learning multiplication. So that is definitely, in fact, I'd shared out like a video of like these multiplication chants with the caption to my teachers. Do you ever get frustrated that your kids can memorize song lyrics but not their multiplication facts? And then it was
Yes.
like, here we go. This is what they need. So I feel like in speaking that language, we tend to speak, it creates another connection between us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a really awesome guy on YouTube, Mr. Nikki, who makes these songs for different historical periods. And I've used those in art history class, and the kids will sing the songs like they're teenagers. And then when we were studying the ancient Near East, I of course played They Might Be Giants, and the one kid came in after a weekend and was like, you know what, Madame, that Istanbul, not Constantinople song was in my head all weekend long. And I was like, well, congratulations, because it's in the head of everyone who was a teenager in the 90s.
That's
Like,
right.
it hasn't left.
Yeah, I love that. Man, that's really cool the way you can use music to reach kids and to, just impact student learning. So thank you for sharing a bit about that.
Yeah. And I guess what I said was only like with the content. I think too, it's important to use whatever you're into, for me, music, to connect with the kids aside from the content. Like sometimes things will come up and I'll just be like, okay, time out. We got to have a little life lesson here. And I have had over the years, many times, I've had a lecture on how to get to the front row at concerts, because sometimes you just have to be human with the kids, or all the time, really. And you just have to be like, okay, we're a little ahead of where we need to be. I can afford to take 10 minutes and do this little lesson with a diagram on the board that ends up looking like a football play, and just show them something that is a little bit of who you are aside from your content.
Exactly. Human connections, I love it. I love it. So, you mentioned that you were an author, so it is shameless plug time. I want you to highlight your book and share anything about that that you would like. Oh, awesome.
So my first book is called The Ultimate Guide to Selling Your Original World Language Resources, and it is essentially all about how you sell curriculum online. So for most people, it's a TPT store, but there are various platforms that do that. And it takes you through three different steps. It's how to open your store, how to fill your store, and then how to grow a successful online curriculum store. And I have been presenting on that topic at various conferences around the country and love doing that. And then my second book, my also with Routledge, My manuscript is due March 10th, so real soon. That book will hopefully come out in the second part of this year. It is called Going Global in the World Language Classroom: Ideas, Strategies, and Resources for Teaching and Learning with the World. And it's all about principles of global ed and how we do that, what that looks like in world language.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks. Thank you for sharing and highlighting your book. And listeners, we'll be sure to drop a link to what was the name of the, remind me of the name of the first one.
The Ultimate Guide to Selling Your Original World Language Resources.
There we go. We'll be sure to drop a link in the show notes so you can find that one fairly easy. Okay, so Aaron, we're going to wrap up here so you know that we have a final question, a three-part question here. So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So, what are you listening to? What are you reading? And what are you watching?
All right. So, what I am listening to right now is absolutely determined by two things. Number one, my students and what they like forced me to get into, but I do kind of like it. Taylor Swift's new album. I appreciate that this woman writes her own music and is doing it at such a high level. And I've never really been into pop music as much as rock, but I just appreciate what she's done. And so my students have me listen to it all the time. But when I'm not at school, what I'm listening to is determined by what I'm doing, which is writing a book. So what I need to listen to while I write, is right now finding acoustic Chris Cornell. Like just some deeper cuts, a lot of live tracks, and that is like the perfect soundtrack for writing. Yeah. And then reading, I'm one of those people who reads multiple books at once. And I'm reading Bono's memoir right now. That's one. And I'm reading a Jason Reynolds book. He's a young adult author. I'm reading All American Boys is the one I'm on right now. And then Homa Tevangar, I'm reading her book, Growing Up Global. So it's about raising global kids. Yeah. And then what I'm watching, I just got done watching the Harry and Meghan documentary on Prince Harry and Meghan Markle on Netflix. And now, actually, this is so crazy. I'm getting back into like what is on Amazon Prime and Netflix, like those series shows that I never saw, but that were super popular. So, literally, last night I started watching Will and Grace. Yeah.
Nice.
So,
Awesome.
that's where I'm at.
Nice. That's a throwback there.
Well,
For
I
sure.
listened to the SmartList podcast with and Sean Hayes is one of the hosts, and I was like, that's weird. I love him on that podcast, but I never saw Will and Grace, which is kind of like his breakthrough performance. So I was like, oh, I should go back and see that.
Nice. Well, enjoy.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate you being on the show and, sharing a lot about the art history and its importance, and especially the importance of second languages. It's always a pleasure to chat with someone who shares a love of music and books as well. So I've appreciated our conversation. It's been a lot of fun. How can our listeners find you and get connected with you to see all the things that you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. I am on LinkedIn, Aaron Hoffman Austin on LinkedIn. So there I'm posting a lot of professional stuff. And as of about a year ago, I got on Twitter. My timing was not great. Like getting on Twitter right before it is not doing awesome things. So I'm on there for now at Aaron-EH-Austin.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I'll be sure to put your handles and everything in the show notes.
All right. Thank you so much. This was awesome.
Thank you. Yes, it's been fun. All right, listeners, thank you for listening, and I hope that you had as much fun as I did. And I hope that you'll share this episode with a friend and colleague. And I just want to say thank you again for listening. We'll see you on the next show. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Shut Up and Teach podcast. I hope that you'll check out previous episodes, and I hope that you'll share this with a friend or a colleague.